I'm so excited to have my friend Alyssa Boyer, who is a mentor and coach for highly sensitive people and a personal friend who's helped me on my journey as a highly sensitive ADHD mom. And I just can't wait to dive into this with you because I feel like we have so much in common with what we speak to and how we want to support people in really getting to the root of living their best lives, right? As highly sensitive people. And so many people with ADHD and who are neurodivergent, this is a common characteristic of that neurowiring, and it can be a challenge. And I feel like it's so easy for us to fall into that victim mentality around life is hard, things are hard, things are harder for me. And I feel that we are so aligned. And how do we empower people to see this high sensitivity as a gift, that it's actually something can be leveraged in your life as a strength and an advantage? And so I'm just curious, how would you speak to that? How do you step in and support people who are like, I'm highly sensitive, life is hard, everything's more difficult, help me out?
Yeah, I mean, just it's so important to speak to that. It's like the victimhood mindset versus the empowerment mindset, because to me, it's like the through line, the work that I do. And I know with work that you do as well, it's like that radical self-acceptance piece. It's like at the end of the day, like this is how we were created. Like, period, end of story. It's like we have this wiring, we have this trait about us. Now, how are we going to work with it? So that's always like, number one, my approach is like radically accepting ourselves. And to me, the way I view it is like, I don't think any of us were designed for our life to just, suck and be perpetually hard and unfair. And I have always felt very driven to enjoy my life, to feel fulfilled and inspired and live to the fullest. And so that's my approach with people when they come to me. It's like, okay, yes, let's validate the ways in which being sensitive is hard, or for you, like whatever, being neurodivergent is hard. But now how can we look at the ways that we can leverage this, what makes you different, as a superpower? Because it's like we already know what staying in the this is so hard for me gets us. It gets us feeling anxious. It gets us feeling like, oh, it's us against the world and things are harder and this is unfair. And we know that song and dance. It doesn't feel good. Our relationships aren't working. We're overthinking. We're overwhelmed, right? So it's like, okay, if we want to choose differently, if we want to have a life that feels better and happier and more peaceful, then part of that is learning to look at how we can approach this through empowerment. So it's like beginning to open your mind to, okay, how can I work with the challenging parts of this trait, so that I'm able to then leverage it as a superpower. So it's like when I think about the challenges of being highly sensitive, it is the fact that like we'll get overstimulated and overwhelmed more easily. So, okay, we need to learn how to regulate our nervous system. That's a must. That just has to be part of our toolkit, and I think about like the way that we care so deeply, like that is a strength and it's a kryptonite. So it's like being able to then recognize, okay, when am I caring from a healthy place, a genuine, abundant place, versus when am I caring from like a codependent, needy place? So it's starting to just like kind of untangle these traits that we have within us and intentionally shifting to, okay, what's the opportunity here? How can I use this to my benefit as a strength in my life rather than something that makes it harder? But I have found that having the intentional shift to want to see it in, from an empowered lens is essential, because if you want to stay in the energy of this is harder for me, then
You
that's where
will.
you will stay, period. So you have to, that's the first shift.
And it's almost like it's a conscious choice because, the neural pathway of this is hard. I'm not good at this. Life is harder for me. Life isn't designed for me. Everyone else has an easier because it's designed for all those narratives. And not like you said, not like there's not some truth to those things. So it's like validating, yes, but then, and now what? Because we already know, like you said, where that path is going. So it's almost like even in the small moments, like building this muscle of which thought am I going to choose? Like turning the dial, like what's the better feeling thought? That's something I've been doing lately. Like when my mind goes to poor, like this is hard, I'm bummed out, to like keep shifting, keep shifting, keep shifting. But oh, yeah, well, actually, And then finding the one that feels better in my body. I've noticed it's like it starts to build that muscle of retraining the way we think about ourselves and our lives.
Absolutely. Yes, it is such a retraining process and having to be intentional with the thoughts that you choose. And, eventually I think it becomes more second nature where you start to automatically more automatically choose that. But of course, in challenging times, it can be, you can slip into why is this happening to me energy. But yeah, like exactly like you said, what's a better feeling thought? What's a more supportive thought? Something I always ask myself is like, what's the opportunity here? Like in every challenge, there's an opportunity. And when you have the awareness to even be open to that idea, it's like, oh, like, okay, it starts to just feel more like a divine like dance versus like, oh, this is just like another roadblock. Oh, I'm getting rejected again. Oh, this person is making my life harder. Like you see the opportunity and you take ownership of the experience too, because you see you have a role in how you experience things.
Exactly. And it's almost like you're not doing anything wrong. This is how life is. And it's actually how life is for everybody. Like, we all have things that are hard and we all have things that are easier. And sometimes it's easy to look at somebody else's hard and easy because it's different than our own. We can have this misperception that, like, it's not happening to other people, but it's actually the way life is designed. And sometimes the hardest moments I found are the biggest opportunities because it's like, how are you going to show up for yourself? How are you going to move through this? Like, I struggled with anxiety a lot of my life, and I have noticed my pathway that I'm used to going down is, you want to avoid, or you want to, kind of flee from the situation if you feel too anxious, whether it's that podcast interview that makes you nervous, or it's showing up at that event that you're scared to go to, or putting yourself out there in whatever way. It's like the going towards the anxiety and retreating is the old way, right? And like moving towards the discomfort and like, okay, I'm going to move through this and find a way to like build that capacity in my nervous system to be with something that's more challenging. It's actually how we get better at holding more discomfort. And it's how we build confidence because we're taking that action towards the thing, right?
Yes. Like one of my favorite quotes about confidence is from Susie Moore, and she says, confidence is a willingness to be uncomfortable. And I'm like, that's exactly it. And I think about my own journey. Like, I think from when I first started my business, and I still remember like hosting my first Zoom call and being so afraid and feeling so worried and anxious before. And oh my gosh, am I even going to be helpful? Like, just all of these thoughts. But obviously I showed up anyway and there was like two people on the call and I whatever like I and I faced the discomfort and I faced an insecurity I had where it was like, oh, no one's really barely anyone's here, whatever, and I did it and I kept showing up and I kept showing up and I kept showing up, and it's like then you show yourself like I'm the type of person who shows up even when it's hard. Oops, I'm the type of person who even if this is super uncomfortable, like I still do it. And then it like builds that confidence within you and that resilience in your nervous system where it's like, oh, I'm not going to die, because that's I feel like that's what's kind of coming up. I'm going to die. This is the
It
worst thing
feels like
ever.
that. Yeah, it can feel so intense.
Right, exactly. And so it's like that slow expansion of it, but it is, you're right, going toward it rather than going into the old way of doing things and wanting to avoid. It's there's no like easy way there. It's not like there's like a magic pill or anything. It's like, no, you just have to do it. Like, unfortunately, sometimes.
And it can feel counterintuitive because your old way that's familiar feels safer. It doesn't make you feel as dysregulated. And I think that's the flip where we've got to mentally understand, just because this feels unsafe doesn't mean it is, and what's on the other side of it, right? Have you heard that Ryan Reynolds had a quote years ago that I heard on a podcast, and it said, the people that are successful are the ones who are willing to be bad at something. And I just remember thinking, like, that is so true, because we look at people and think, oh, well, it's just easy for them. They've got, like, look at you with like a potential book deal on the horizon. It's like someone who didn't know you could be like, oh, well, lucky her. And it's like, no, you've taken so many steps to get yourself and been willing to put yourself out there and be uncomfortable to achieve where you are now, right?
Without a doubt, yes. And that's why I always like to be like open about my whole journey too, because I think back to like when I first started and I had 0 followers on Instagram, and then it went to 100, and it like slowly grew. But like my husband can attest how many times I would like cry to him and be like, no one cares, like no one cares, like why am I doing all of this? But then there was that other part of me that was like, no, I have to keep doing this, like even though it feels like I'm shouting to the void right now. And I think it's like your willingness to show up and do hard things, even when no one's applauding you, even when no one notices, like that's where the resilience is built. And that's where a lot of people do point to others and say, oh, they're just lucky. But it's like, no, that person was willing to be bad at something, was willing to get messy, figure it out, be embarrassed, look silly, but they did it anyway. And now they're over this hump. I think Seth Godin talks about this mountain that people get to, and then a lot of people just don't do keep going because it's too hard. But success is on the other side of that hard. So it's like it applies to every area of life, but you have to like, if I think if you go into things knowing this is going to be uncomfortable, that can help. Because if you expect like living in alignment or like choosing an empowered way of being, if you expect that to just be like easy and feel good, then you're in for a rude awakening, because it's not always.
No, definitely. And sometimes the more that we heal and open ourselves up to feeling better, bigger opportunities, the bigger the lessons are on the other side. Like it matches, you know? And so it's like almost like those little things. Like I know you and I have talked about like showing up on Instagram and you get mean comments or unfollows or all those little things are actually preparing you for like, okay, say I do put a book out into the world. Do you think every single person's gonna like it or have nice things to say? Like we have to have the capacity to hold on such a bigger level. So it's almost like it's equivalent and it's this building process to creating the life we want to be living.
Without a doubt. Yes, exactly. And that's something I'll ask myself too when I'm in the midst of a challenge at the level I'm at right now, is like, okay, but with where I'm going and who I'm becoming, how would that version of me respond to that challenge? And what is this teaching me that's going to be a lesson later on? So exactly like you said with like the mean comments, it's like all of it. It's like it's just priming you. And even viewing it in that way again is so empowered versus, because some, otherwise you could just look at it and be like, this is so unfair. People are so mean. No one likes what I say. Everyone is so much harder on me. And it's like, you get literally no lesson out of that. And you just get the satisfaction of blaming others, right? So it's, yeah.
And then you just stay stuck in that same looping in that same place in life rather than choosing that up level. And I think that's that victim energy versus creator energy that we both, I think, feel very aligned to of like we are responsible for creating our realities. So, yes, things are going to be hard, things are going to be sticky and uncomfortable. How do we choose to show up for those moments? And if you've got a vision of like, okay, this is how I want to feel in my life, or this is what I want to create in my life. What am I doing now to attract that? And I know you talked about this a lot. I loved your most recent episode on the Sensitive and Soulful podcast about manifesting, because I feel like that is it, right? It's like, what does the version of me that wants to feel, whether it's calm and regulated just in my life with my family and my kids, or whether it's like I want to create a book in the world or a business in the world? That your dreams are there for a reason, but you have to step into being the person that attracts those dreams, right? And so our choices we make have to, and the energy that we carry has to align to that. So if we're still stewing in poor me or I'm too anxious to take action, then that's what we're going to continue to draw in.
Without a doubt. Yeah. And I think about this like in motherhood, I have a 2.5-year-old, and it's like so much harder than I thought it would be. Like being a mom, it's more dysregulating and challenging and stretchy than I thought it would be. And, when I think about the type of mom I want to be and the example I want to set for her, it's like somebody who can show up regulated, who can meet her needs, who can not be too overwhelmed by her emotions or uncomfortable by them that I want her to shut them down. And it's funny because obviously before I had a kid, I thought, oh yeah, well, I'm going to be so attuned and I'm going to always, respond in this way. And then you get there and it's like
It's
when
totally different.
you're getting screamed at and like hit and you're like, oh, this is very triggering.
Very dysregulating, for
Very
sure.
dysregulating. So I think about that too. There's this motherhood like influencer I follow, Tessa Romero, and she always talks about like mindset shifts. And something she says that I love is like, you're not given what you want, you're given what you need. And so it's like, if you want to be more patient, you're going to be given opportunities to practice patience when your kid is, you have to go, and your child is like, no, I need to put my shoes on myself, and it takes 20 minutes. Like, there's tons of opportunities where it's like, okay, here's your chance to start practicing being that version of you. It's not what you want, it's what you need. You have to keep like having these little lessons and keep practicing. So it makes life feel more like a classroom or a game at times, because it's all helping you grow.
It's actually all lessons specifically designed for you and what you're here to achieve in this life, I think. And I know we both love human design. And if you follow human design, it really talks to you about we're all created in this unique way and designed to do things differently and bring different gifts and energies and ways of doing and being to the world. And like we have in common that we're the line three, which is the great life experimenter, which is literally we learn from making mistakes, which at first the perfectionist in me was like, wait, whoa, what? Like that's terrifying. But when you start to reframe it as like, okay, no, it's supposed to be happening this way. This is all for me. This isn't happening against me. This is an opportunity to lean into the exact lessons I'm supposed to learn to stretch myself to get to that version of me, that life I want to be in, that way I want to feel. It's all by design.
I found so much like permission in human design, because a lot of the things that you learn are like, I mean, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it feels like, oh, this is actually my natural way of doing things, and now you're telling me it's okay. So it's like the permission slip, like, yeah, it's okay to try a bunch of things and mess up. And by messing up, yeah, you're not actually like screwing yourself over. You're gathering the important and necessary data that you need in order to make informed decisions moving forward. So it's like, it's all around like getting to know yourself more and accepting yourself more and your unique way of living, that it just makes all of life, flow more easily. Instead of you fighting the current, it's like, okay, you can kind of flow with how you're designed, and approach things with more confidence.
Absolutely. And at the root of it is really that self-worth and self-acceptance, which I know you speak to as really the is really foundational in the work that you do, right?
Oh my gosh, it's everything. I always say it's like at the yeah, it's at the foundation of everything that I teach highly sensitive people. And it's like I was thinking about this recently. When I first started out, I would do, posts like, oh, 5 tips to get better sleep, or 3 tips to thrive at work. And to be honest, like I would like poke my eyeballs out doing a post like that, and I'm like, no thanks. Because to me, it's more about like when you know yourself and when you're so connected to yourself, you can understand yourself so much better that you know better than anyone else what is best for you. Of course, it's helpful to have like resources around, different little tips. I'm not saying that, but rather it's like it's just deeper than that. It's like getting to a place of, I know who I am, I trust who I am, I accept who I am, and I know that I can make the decisions that are best for me. But yeah, what I've noticed with my clients over the years is like people really struggle with like people pleasing or overthinking interactions or feeling overly responsible for people. And I'm like, okay, why are they doing that? Like, why are they doing the, taking these actions and being so worried about what people think of them, or getting so anxious about conversations that they're overthinking them for sometimes like months and months later? And I'm like, oh, it's because they are so worried about how other people perceive them and how they are seen by others, because other people's perception of them is literally defining their worth and value. And so if someone were to potentially think, oh, that comment she made was dumb, then they're like, oh my gosh, I'm dumb, and I'm not good enough. It's like we go to that place. So it's like when you unapologetically accept yourself, when you have high self-worth, and you're like, even if I make a dumb comment and someone judges me for it, I'm still worthy either way. It's like it diminishes all of these issues that people have because you're so much more unshakable. It's like it's literally completely fine versus everything feeling so make or break. It's like you're solid, you're gonna be okay either way. So it's everything.
It's everything. And I feel like there's so many parallels in what you and I do because it's the same thing. It's like, what's at the root here? It's like, I was laughing. You're saying that I'm poke my eyeballs out if I talk about five more tips to get better sleep. I feel the same way about like organization or time management. It's like, yeah, okay, those things matter, but none of it's really going to change your life until you get to the root. And the root is your self-worth, you know, your self-acceptance. And then when everything is like filtered through that, all those other things just kind of handle themselves, right?
Yes, that's exactly it. That's it. Yeah. It handles itself. There's so much less mental drama, and you can tune into yourself rather than needing a million opinions from everyone else because at the end of the day, you know what's best for you and you're willing to figure it out. Yeah.
And all those things like people pleasing and perfectionism, like they just are resolved because all of that is based in this need to please others because you're searching outside of yourself for that acceptance and approval and validate me that I'm okay. But when you're giving that to yourself, well, then that just it just is obsolete. Like it's like no longer a conversation because you're giving it to you.
1000%. Yeah, you're so much more untouchable and unshakable. And people will say, well, what if somebody's mad at me? Or what if they take what I said the wrong way? Or what if, like all these what ifs. And I'm like, then you would handle it. Like, okay, if even if you had an interaction and someone mistook what you said and took it personally and got their feelings hurt, one, that still doesn't make you a bad or unworthy person. But yeah, you might need to do some repair. We're still capable of making
Of
mistakes,
course.
and that you can make a mistake without being an awful human, and you can handle it. Okay, we'll have trust ourselves enough to have a conversation, to, apologize if we need to hear the other person's perspective. So it's like this energy I always say of like having your own back. Like I have my own back no matter what. Even if I mess up, I'm not gonna berate myself and think, oh, I'm deserving of no friends. It's like, oh, I'm a human, I messed up. And I also trust myself to like take this adult steps to make it right and it'll be okay. And I can't control how other people react and what their perception is. And I think that's another just like huge part of it where there's so much discomfort around other people potentially perceiving us in a different light or not liking us or misunderstanding us. And I think because there's such a wound, I know for highly sensitive people, I know for neurodivergent people, it's that wound of like, I can't actually be myself. And so feeling really worried or hurt about what if people don't accept me for who I am. And that's, again, it's where when you accept yourself first, it matters less. It doesn't mean it won't hurt at times to feel misunderstood, but it doesn't touch your value and worth if someone were to misunderstand you or not like you.
It's because you can give it to you, right? Like, so even though it's uncomfortable, it's like turning back inward of like, why is this so uncomfortable? And then having the tools to, it's probably reminds you of another time in your life you were super uncomfortable. And then doing that work with that part of you that maybe needs love and attention and acceptance from you rather than continue to spiral again. It's just like that looking outward for the validation as opposed to going inward and meeting these parts of us that during our lifetime have felt wounded or rejected or abandoned or like it wasn't safe to be ourselves. And it all comes back to being safe to be ourselves with us.
Yes, yeah, safe to be ourselves, and I'm okay no matter what. I think something, I'm going to record a podcast episode about this idea of like quiet confidence. And because something I noticed in myself is like, if I'm in a group of people, like I'm not going to be the person who's like the loudest in the group, like especially if there's like a lot of like extroverted people, like I'm definitely more of like the listener person, that's not like overly inserting myself. And I still notice, like through this work that I do, that there are times where I'm like, oh, I wish I would have spoken up more. Oh, whatever. But something I think about too is like, I am not willing to change who I am just to be more make myself feel more comfortable or be more palatable to other people. So I'm also not going to like say more or try to be louder if that's just not who I am, you know? And so it's really this idea of like embodying and embracing who you are and just, you know, at times that will mean there might be some discomfort because it might look different than how other people act. But it's like when you can like quietly own that about yourself and be like, this is me, take it or leave it. I'm good with this. It's just powerful. It's just felt. So that's just something I'm always kind of like, I'm always observing myself too and kind of noticing how it shows up because I know other people can relate to those feelings as well. It's an ongoing process.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the abandonment wound is feeling different than the norm. And it's like, what is normal? There's no such thing, but we've created this idea of it as a culture, right? Of like, what is maybe the better or superior or, the right way to do or be. And I think so many of us who've had this wound maybe don't fit into that box, but it's like understanding that that box isn't actually real. Like, that's great if that's you, but if it's not, it's so valid to be the version that's different than that. And in fact, it's by design. And what is it about that makes you unique? What is it about you that is unique? That is the gift, because I look at someone like you and you might be like judging yourself in that like situation that you're not the extrovert, but you have the insight and you're the good listener. And then you know how to process kind of what's going on in dynamics and say it in a way that other people can learn and grow from and feel seen and validated and inspired. And that's huge, right? And maybe the person who's the life of the party doesn't have that same gift. They've got a different gift and a different path. And so I think when we can kind of see it that way, like we're all sort of pieces of this puzzle that are there on purpose, it kind of takes the judgment away that we need to be all things to all people.
My gosh, for sure. I shared this in an email like I don't know, months ago, but my husband is like he's an extrovert, he's a Leo, like so textbook, like you go somewhere and he's like he makes friends everywhere. Like that's just him. I'm like that's cool, it's not me. But when we first were dating, I would feel like, "Oh, I'm like less fun than him. Like people probably like him more than me, whatever." And I shared in an email this story where we went to a wedding. It was like his friend's wedding, and I didn't really know anyone there. And so we got there, and he was kind of just like doing his thing, like talking to a bunch of people. And I was like, at that point, I'd done a lot of inner work. I'm like, I'm not trying to keep up. It's totally fine. So I remember I started talking with this woman, and we started talking about astrology. And I started like sharing all the information I knew about astrology. And then later, you know, she's like, said to her boyfriend, like, oh my gosh, you have to meet this girl. She's so cool. And then I started talking about their astrology sign. Then all of a sudden we had this little group and we're all talking. And the girl had said to my husband later, she's like, I love your, I think we were just dating at the time. I love your girlfriend. Like she has the best energy of anyone I've ever met. And it was like me leaning into, I'm not the life of the party. I'm not the extrovert, but I had those deep conversations and shared parts of myself. And it was well received. So I think that it's just like you said, we all have different pieces of the puzzle. We're not all meant to be this one way. So it's like seeing your gifts and being unapologetic about it rather than hiding and being like, oh, I'm not like that. So something's wrong with me is just huge.
It's huge. And then validating ourselves through that process and knowing that, like, it's by design, we're supposed to be this way. And also knowing that those little voices are going to come up. Like, even when you have high self-worth, I think it's still a process because you're constantly up-leveling to that next version of you, right? That can
Oh,
hold more
yeah.
and more and more. So that's another thing that I've learned is like when I'll have a big jump and like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of myself. I've come so far. Sometimes I'll like let go of maybe the habits that I have that I know make me feel grounded and connected. And I'll feel like, oh, I'm fixed almost, like not consciously, but I'll kind of fall back into old patterns and it'll like bring me back. Like, okay, no, this is a long game. You know what I'm saying? Can you relate to it
Yeah,
all?
I totally can. I love that you say that because you're so right. And I hadn't even like really thought about that, but you're so right. It's so true. It's almost like you get this like, yeah, this false overly confidence about it or something like that, where I'm like, oh, I don't need this anymore. I'm good. And then slowly but surely it starts to creep in where you're like, wait, why is that happening again? Why is that old pattern coming up? It's like, Yeah, with each new level of evolution, there's going to be new challenges that come up. It's really interesting because I was in that place, like after I had my daughter Blaine, totally fell off of so many of my practices naturally because, it's just crazy. And I started to recognize myself feeling really stuck and things were not moving in the direction that I wanted. I feel stagnant. And so I remember sitting down and like doing this meditation to just like connect to my intuition and my higher self. Like, what do I need to know? And it was so clear, like, you need to meditate every day. You need to make this a non-negotiable. So I started to do that. And it's wild because it was literally weeks after doing that, I then had this massive opportunity with, a book publisher reaching out to me. So it was like the next level came knocking because I was holding myself to a higher standard and shifting into that next version versus saying, no, I'm too busy for this. I don't need to meditate. Doesn't really matter. It's like, oh, it actually does. So I think it's like that alignment piece. And
Totally.
sticking to those practices that work for you, especially when you feel like it's second nature. If it's like it all builds upon each other, I
It
feel like.
does. And sometimes it can feel like the small things that, like, does it matter that much? Like, if I skip that meditation or if I just get straight on my phone when I wake up, that's one for me. Like, I'm really trying to, like, not go straight to my phone and have more of, like, a morning routine where I ground into myself. Like, I know if I have, like, coffee and start working right away versus if I like start with a lemon water and go put my feet on the ground and sit in the sun for a couple minutes and maybe journal for a few minutes. Like I ground into my day and have a breakfast that's higher in protein and then have my coffee. Like these little things, I'll start to do them. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, do I really need that? I feel great. And then I'm like, oh no, now I'm anxious. Now I'm feeling all these old things come up. So I think it's also like honoring how powerful the simple things are, that not that those that morning routine works for everyone, but I know those are my things. So it's like finding your things and really giving them to yourself as a priority. 'Cause sometimes I feel like the small things can be so underestimated as far as how much they impact us in the way we can do the bigger things.
Majorly. I mean, it's like I notice the impact of them more when I don't do them. It's like you don't notice how much better you feel when you're doing it because you're just like fine. And it's like, yeah, on the days where I don't get to meditate before Blaine wakes up, I notice my reactions are quicker versus more of a more space. So it's like, yeah, you really feel it. Those small, tiny tweaks add up. It's worth it. And the other thing I think too, and especially in our fast-paced world and this pressure to go and keep up and gotta get right on social media, gotta get right to work, all the things, it's like it's kind of a rebellious act too to choose slowness instead. And I think it shows your nervous system that it's safe to not dive right in and go right into what everyone else is doing. It's like, no, I'm okay. Like, we're good. Like, let's take this slower. Like, that in itself has been really healing for me too, to just kind of feels like it retrains my nervous system to see, like, no, it's safe to go slow. Like, you're not going to miss out.
Absolutely.
It's not going to fall apart. Like, you're okay. It's like, oh, like, I need that.
Yeah, and it can feel counterintuitive at first because we're conditioned to think the opposite. So it's like showing our bodies, like in those first few times, it is uncomfortable because it's like, no, I've got this to-do list a mile long. Why am I taking a walk right now? You know, but it's then realizing, okay, when I do it, how much more grounded and present I am to show up for the things on my to-do list because I'm taking care of myself in these ways.
Yes, it's so true. It's like you're can often be more productive and more efficient when you're doing the thing when you're approaching it from a regulated state. Something I've recently started doing that's been a game changer. It's like a simple shift, but I know we love simple shifts. It's like when I'm doing a task, it's like I notice my body language while I'm doing it. So I have like around 3.5, 4 hours to work every day while my daughter's in school. And so I noticed I would always kind of be hunched over, like feeling like I gotta cram everything in before I have to go pick her up. That was the energy. And when I've started to intentionally lean back in my chair, light a candle, like breathe slower, like just shifting my body. It makes such a difference because it's like I'm showing myself like this isn't urgent. And even if I didn't get to everything on my list before 12:20, like it's literally fine. So it's
Yes.
crazy how much that helps. It's like showing myself it's all good. It's
It's all good.
not a big deal.
And this doesn't have to feel frantic and stressful. Like I'm allowed to do the same task in a way that, I can breathe and I actually can enjoy this. And if I don't get everything done, that's also okay. You
Yes.
know?
It's crazy. It's like
Yeah.
these little things,
These
but
little things.
so much
Yeah.
better. Especially when you are a more sensitive person, I think we just have to like literally be more mindful of that
I agree
stuff.
because it's we are just wired in a way where those things are going to impact us more, and those little things go a long way for our nervous systems, and then shifting the mindset around it being okay to be different, I think, and just accepting that we may need to do things in a slower way if that's for you, or we may need to do these certain things in our day that maybe other people don't understand, but it makes you feel regulated. It makes you feel good. And then the energy that you bring to what you're doing gets to change and it gets to feel different. And then the whole experience just gets to be different.
Yeah,
Does that make
exactly. And
sense?
that's, yeah, and it's where that acceptance piece is so key because, yeah, if you are somebody who has to do more regulation practices than others, there could be some self-judgment that comes up. Or, oh, if you have to stay home, or say no to social events more often than other people, you might have some self-judgment. But when it's like you know these things about yourself and you know what it takes to help you thrive, and you can accept that, it's like, no, this is, you can own it. It's okay that this is how I show myself love and care. And quite frankly, I think most people in the world should do more regulation things. I think people are so used to being chronically stressed and dysregulated that I find that people who are more sensitively wired, like we're kind of at the forefront of what others should do, because we feel it more intensely. So it's more acute for us, it's more obvious for us, but at the end of the day, like these are things that everyone should know how to do. So it's kind of like, what if you could also see it as being ahead of the curve, being kind of a leader, because self-care, as cheesy as it is, like it is important and essential for us to for longevity and for enjoying our lives and being able to just like feel good and be present.
Absolutely. So in the end, the high sensitivity is really an advantage because we almost don't have a choice. Whereas other people might be able to override it. For us, it needs to be an essential if we want to be able to show up in our lives in ways that feel good. We can't override it. And so, yeah, it forces us to be on sort of this cutting edge of what would benefit all people, but our system's just, it's a must.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. And I think that's why so many people who are sensitive tend to feel drawn to support others in some way once they kind of learn these tools and things that help them, because we know what it's like to not feel good. And we've felt that so personally that it's like we want to be able to share and help. And that's where, yeah, like you said, it's like on the cutting edge. I think we're part of helping people shift collectively, but we're the first to experience it. So it feels more challenging because you're like, why isn't anyone else feeling so overwhelmed or dysregulated? Why do I have to do all this stuff? And the other thing I always like remind my clients of when they feel like, oh, I just have to do so much to like feel good. But like I'm always like, but look at what that gifts you to. Like you have so much self-awareness. You are so in tune with yourself, which is a huge gift, like to be able to say, like, at this point, a lot of times, if I have like a headache or something kind of like, or like a skin issue or something, I'm so in tune with myself that I can usually kind of pinpoint, like, oh, it's probably because I didn't have enough water at this point in my day, or oh, because I didn't sleep well. It's like, it's not just like, oh, I don't know. Like, you're just in tune with yourself, which is a huge advantage and superpower as well.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that. I just recently, I'll get like a, if I'm frustrated, I'll get a rash. Like
Oh,
so random, but like I've noticed this pattern, but because I'm so in tune with like, okay, what am I not speaking up about? What am I in that people pleaser mode about that's brewing, but I don't want to acknowledge it and it's coming out in my body. Like just little things like that that yeah, we're much more in tune with living a healthier lifestyle because of it, because we have to.
yeah, we have no other choice, which is, yeah, seeing again, it's like seeing it from the empowered lens. What's in this for me? What's the opportunity?
What exactly? Well, this is so fun chatting with you. Tell us, okay, where can people connect with you? Do you have any offerings you want to share out? We would love to hear.
So I'm definitely most active on Instagram at Life by Alyssa. If you're resonating with the topic of self-acceptance and self-worth, I have my signature course is called Sensitive and Soulful Self-Worth. That's always something you can enroll in, and you'll find it on my Instagram linked there. And then I have a podcast, as Melissa mentioned, The Sensitive and Soulful Show, which is just solo episodes helping you learn how to thrive and use your sensitivity as a superpower.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Alyssa. I always love chatting with you. This is great.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks so much for tuning in. There's more to this conversation over on Substack. That's where our paid community for ADHD moms is held. There, you'll receive full access to episodes and resources where I'll show up honestly, speaking out what I'm working through and the topics that validate our neurodivergent experiences. Plus, you'll have the option to comment and share as much as you would like or would not like. If you'd like to join us, go ahead and click the link below in the show notes. I would love to see you over there. Until next time.